بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله we're beginning the third week the 15th session that we're discussing or taking a glimpse into the virtues of the glorious sacred harams and I've started discussing the awesome virtues of the blessed masjid of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the last thing I pointed out was the 40 prayers that if you offer the 40 prayers not missing any then you are given a royal announcement that you are free from the fire punishment and hypocrisy Another peculiarity of the sacred masjid of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the report in which he mentioned whoever comes to my masjid to learn or to teach khair he then stands equal in rank to the mujahid striving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path subhanallah whoever comes to my masjid to learn or to teach khair He then stands equal in rank to the mujahid striving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. This is in Ibn Majah, number 227, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 9409, Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Abu Ya'la, number 6472, Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 1698, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 34616, Mishkat, Targhib number 146. And it's Sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 6060. So, looking very briefly at this flawless report. So here, our beloved messenger mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the ways in which to get the great blessings from his masjid. And that is to learn or to teach khair. So khair means goodness. Goodness. So the one who learns or teaches goodness in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is equal to the one who's on the battlefield fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is unique to Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was encouraging that you spend time in his masjid, i.e. to either learn or to teach, i.e. what you know about the glorious deen. And whatever time you invest, that time is equated equally to fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. So again, how precious is it to be on the battlefield? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned Sahih Hadith, that a person who's on the battlefield for even the moment for milking a she-camel, then paradise is his right. So to be on the battlefield is not a small thing. So how easy is it to acquire that when you go to Masjid al-Nabi? You're sitting in a nice, comfortable masjid, carpets, radiators, heaters. But despite the ease, what's being recorded for you by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also, in another report it mentions, in Bayhaqi and Targhib, number 916, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and the month of Ramadan, in this my masjid is better than 1,000 months of Ramadan in any other masjid except Masjid al-Haram. And the month of Ramadan in this my masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is better than 1,000 months of Ramadan in any other masjid except Masjid al-Haram. And this is a very important report. Because the Prophet was now highlighting sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not just the salat that multiplies. This is a mistake people make. They say the prayer multiplies. Because of the hadith, one prayer in my masjid, which I've mentioned many times, is better than 1,000. They restrict it to salat. So here was our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about salat. No. He's talking about the month of Ramadan. What's that got to do with salat? And yet, the month of Ramadan in my masjid is better than 1,000 months of Ramadan in any other masjid except Masjid al-Haram. So here, one of the Hanafi sheikhs, Maulana Muhammad Uthman in his commentary of Targhib, number 300, page 376, he stated, thus every good deed in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better than 1,000 degrees, except in Masjid al-Haram, where it is greater by 100,000 degrees. SubhanAllah. So what was the Shaykh saying? Every deed, without exception, inside Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is better than 1,000 degrees, except in Masjid al-Haram, where it is greater by 100,000 degrees. So now what does that mean, putting it very simply? It means that Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so blessed. It's Ramadan 24/7 all year. Right? Think about that. It's Ramadan 24/7 all year. But you have to be in the masjid to acquire this. So what do I mean by this? The report mentions that one subhanallah in Ramadan is better than 1,000 subhanallahs outside of Ramadan. This is in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith from the Salaf. And his other reports confirming the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Abu Dawood Sahih, whoever performs Umrah in Ramadan is like a Hajj with me. It's doing Hajj with me. So obviously things multiply more than 1,000 times. There's a weak hadith mentioning 70. But the authentic reports mention 1,000. So everything multiplies more than 1,000 in Ramadan. As soon as you enter Masjid al-Nabi, the same calculation starts taking place. Think about that. Because of what I've just mentioned. Right? The same calculation. There's the tragedy. In Ramadan, people are on it. And why are they on it? Because they know the calculation. In fact, they get it wrong. They say 70-70 is more than that. But just for the sake of an extra 70 multiple, they start increasing in their deeds. You notice. They start reading more Quran, offering more nafl prayers, doing more dhikr. Why? Because of the extra rewards. What about Masjid al-Nabi? Switch off. Imagine sitting back, yawning and groaning, right? And you think, it's 24/7 Ramadan in Masjid al-Nabi. So now why is that? Why is Allah the Almighty and Glorious made it like this? Because He wants to give you. This is the Masjid of His beloved. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Were you aware of that? Has anybody bothered telling you this? But don't forget, that's in the 11 months outside of Ramadan. In Ramadan, I don't know what's happening. Right? Things are multiplying even more so in the holy month of Ramadan. And of course, the blessed 10 days of Zulhijjah. So when you're there, you should spend most of your time in Masjid al-Nabi. Because the multiple doesn't occur outside there. You understand? Right? So somebody says to you, where's the best place to recite the Quran? In the holy city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say, in Masjid al-Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because what if I read it in Masjid al-Quba? Fantastic. But you don't get the reward that you get in Masjid al-Nabi. What if I read it in, it doesn't matter, brother. The multiple is in Masjid al-Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So try to spend most of your time there to get the full blessings from that sacred masjid. Also, note that in the Kaaba or around the Kaaba, things multiply more than 100,000 times. And what did the Shaykh say? Every good deed. A further proof in Ibn Majah, number 3117, Abu Nu'aym in his Akhbar Asbahan 2-196, it mentions, in Makkah, the rewards multiply 100,000 times of Ramadan elsewhere. So if you are entering Masjid al-Haram, the Holy Kaaba, soon as your blessed foot enters the Masjid, everything starts multiplying more than 100,000 times. So it's 100 times greater than the holy month of Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, around the Holy Kaaba. Think about that. It's 100 times greater than Ramadan inside Masjid al-Haram, outside of Ramadan. So what do people do? They go shopping. Right? Think about that. Why are these narrations, what they're telling you? Go into the masjids. Acquire these blessings that Allah Ta'ala has graciously given to His guests. You're His guest. What do you think He's going to give you? So note, spend as much time in Masjid al-Nabi as possible. And of course, what greater place to send gifts to the deceased? If everything is multiplying like Ramadan, and what about the dead? Send those gifts. Read the Quran, do the Durood Sharif, do the Zikr. Talk about the deen, share the knowledge, get the reward of jihad on the battlefield, etc., etc. Right? And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will give due to the grace that He bestows upon His Messenger. Another thing about the masjid is that there's a garden of paradise. So now what do I mean by this? Every masjid is paradise. The Prophet said in a hadith that every masjid will return to paradise before Qiyamah. Because we are in paradise. The hadith in Tirmidhi, the Prophet said, when you enter the gardens of paradise, graze well. So the Sahaba said, what are the gardens of paradise, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, masjids. Because how do we graze? And the Prophet said, say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So what did he describe masjids as? Gardens of paradise. Any masjid. But Masjid al-Nabi, of course, is a part of paradise. But there's an extra special place of paradise within the masjid. How do we know? In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi, Sahih Mishkat, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, between my house and my pulpit, there is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Between my house and my pulpit, there is a garden from the gardens of paradise. This is an absolutely flawless report in Bukhari and Muslim. So what does that mean? You know, we hear the report, what does it mean? So a person goes, but isn't all the masjid the paradise? Yes, so there must be something else the Prophet was referring to here. So the scholars, they give the various clarifications. One of the things the scholars point out is that one can obtain the priceless tajalli, the gaze, the supplication, the blessing of our beloved messenger there. So that is something priceless. One can obtain the priceless tajalli, the gaze, the supplication, the blessings of our beloved messenger there. He's physically looking at you there. So this is one blessing. And his sight is beyond comprehension. So you're getting the blessings of Rasulullah there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's one meaning. The second is, his grave is there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My house and my pulpit. So if his grave is there, he is there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you're getting closer to Rasulullah. So you'd expect the blessings to increase as you get closer to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thirdly, you should recite Salat al-Nabi in Riyadul Jannah. Why? Because you're sending blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it becomes at its peak at his grave. Anywhere else is conveyed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are actually at the grave. So the power of that Salat al-Nabi is beyond comprehension. So you recite Salat al-Nabi there. Thirdly, you partake of the gifts from the sacred city and meeting pilgrims on their return. What is this? Why are these people blessed who return from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because of the tajalli of the Prophet. You were in his presence. So when you go and visit people who are returning, you are actually getting some of the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this person was in his presence, even if it was for a very short time. How do you acquire that tajalli? You get it by going into this special garden of paradise, which the Prophet was referring to. So this is why he left it open. He said, between my house and my pulpit, there is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Meaning, you take some extreme blessings from this especially dear and blessed place in my masjid. Also, in Tabarani, in his Awsat, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in this masjid is a spot that if people knew the blessed nature of it, they would flock towards it in such great numbers, casting lots to perform salat there. They asked Aisha radiallahu anha, please inform us of that spot. She refused to inform. However, upon the insistence of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, her nephew, she pointed it out. And where was it? It is the pillar which is named after her, the pillar of Aisha radiallahu anha. So let's look at this. So in the Garden of Paradise, now they've got a queuing system. So you can just get into the queue. You have to be patient. Takes you a while. Eventually they let you spend 5-10 minutes in the Garden of Paradise. But in that blessed garden, there's pillars. One of the pillars is called the pillar of Aisha radiallahu anha. You can actually see it. If you scan and look at the pillars, you'll see names. One is called the pillar of Abu Lubaba. And there's a reason for that, radiallahu anha. One's the pillar of Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. One's the pillar of Aisha. They've got names. So you're in the garden, you're thinking, but there's a great wisdom why they've got names. The pillar which is named after Aisha, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam say? Something very interesting. He said, in this masjid, there is a certain spot that if you knew the nature of it, you would rush to it in great numbers and you would cast lots to perform salat there. So the Prophet told you something, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He said, there's an area and it's not any deed you do there. It's salat. He told you what to do there. You would offer salat because you draw lots to offer salat, but the Prophet didn't mention the spot. So obviously, when Hazrat Aisha narrated the hadith, radiallahu anha, the people asked, dear mother, what's that spot? And she didn't tell. The wisdom is, if she told people, like, if you tell them about the night of power, what happens? They forget about the other nights. Same principle. So she had a nephew who was very dear to her. His name was Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiallahu anhu. That was her sister's son, Asma's son. He was the last Sahaba to become Khalif. He was Abu Bakr's grandson, radiallahu anhu. So he kept asking Aisha, because, oh my beloved mother, my dear aunt, please tell me, where is that spot? And eventually she pointed to it, and it's where the pillar is, named after Aisha. So when Abdullah ibn Zubair went there, radiallahu anhu, the people then said, it's there, we found it. And Abdullah ibn Zubair didn't say anything, he just thought, okay, mashallah. So he came out. So now the question is, what's the reward? We don't know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you knew the nature of it, you wouldn't mind casting lots. So obviously, you get the impression it's paradise. Right? If you offer salat there. So when you enter the Garden of Paradise, you should try to pray next to the pillars. Right? There's Qurans there, you can recite. But salat is probably a better thing to do there. And the pillar of Aisha. And there you go. That's why it's called the Garden of Paradise. Why did the Prophet say, between my house and my pulpit, there's a garden from the gardens of paradise? Because there's things in there that you are unaware of. So when you go there, imbibe, take the great blessings from that glorious Garden of Paradise. So to make a start now on the blessed grave, unparalleled grave of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his blessed grave is where he lived with Sayyida Aisha. He passed away in Sayyida Aisha's dwelling, radiallahu anhu, and that's where his blessed grave is. You can be very easily locate it now because of the green dome that is directly above it. So when you actually see the green dome in Al-Madinah, directly under that is where Rasulullah is buried, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's actually Aisha's dwelling. In the hadith I mentioned last, what did the Prophet say? Between my house, Aisha's house, and my pulpit, there is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Meaning his grave is in that garden. Right? His grave is in that very garden that Allah alayhi wa sallam. So now, what do we need to know about the blessed grave? A few things. First of all, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever visits my grave, then my intercession will be granted for him. Subhanallah. Whoever visits my grave, then my shafa'ah, my intercession will be granted or guaranteed, sorry, will be guaranteed for him. So now let's look at this. The Prophet clearly said his grave. He didn't say masjid. Right? Whoever visits my grave, then my shafa'ah will be guaranteed for him. There is no doubt I will intercede for you. So now, is this narration authentic? In Dar-Qutni 2-278, Bazar number 1198, Behaki, it is Shu'ab al-Iman number 4159. Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Asakir, Hakim al-Tirmidhi in his Nawadir al-Usul, number 112. Ibn Abi Dunya, Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullah alayh, in Talkhis al-Habir 2-266, states Hassan. Hafiz Zahabi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Mizan al-I'tidal 4-266, states Hassan. Hafiz al-Ajluni, rahmatullah alayh, in Kashaf al-Khafa, number 2489, he states Hassan. And he goes on and on. So now, it's recorded. It's recorded in the famous books of Hadith. And Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith graded it Hassan. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. The great Muhaddith, Ibn Taymiyyah student, Hafiz Zahabi said it's Hassan. And the great Hafiz al-Ajluni states Hassan. If you don't know who these people are, you might as well pack your bags up. Right? So if anybody questions the authenticity, he's cloud cuckoo land. Right? So going to the grave of the Prophet was encouraged by who? Rasulullah himself. My shafa'a is guaranteed. Think about that. We are not relying upon our deeds. If you are, you're a fruitcake. We don't rely upon our deeds. We do our deeds hoping that Allah Ta'ala will have mercy on us. We rely upon Rasulullah far more. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he intercedes for you, you are safe. One of the ways to guarantee this is to visit his grave. Think about that. Look at the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because I am guaranteed, I am duty bound to intercede for you. A second report. Our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever visits me sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any intended purpose other than my visit, it is then incumbent upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be his intercessor on the day of rising. So there's a condition now. Whoever visits me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without any intended purpose other than my visit, is then incumbent upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be his intercessor on the day of rising. So first, where is this recorded? In Tabarani in his Kabir, number 13,149. Tabarani in his Awsat, number 4,546. Dar Qutni. Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, number 5,482. He states, Malama ibn Salama is da'if. Hafiz Zahabi in Mizan al-I'tidal 6-415 states, his weakness is light. Therefore, it is acceptable as a corroborative narration, i.e. for the one I mentioned earlier. So simply put, this hadith has a slight weakness in the chain of transmission. There's a person called Malama ibn Salama. Hafiz Zahabi said his weakness is light, meaning some have graded him authentic. Some have said that there's weakness in his memory. But it's light. But then he said critically, his narrations can be accepted as a corroborative proof. Meaning, if there's another report, this can be used as a proof to further cement that. And I've just mentioned the report previously. It's mentioning the same thing. So this report is supporting the authentic report I mentioned first. Have you understood? But this report adds a detail. This is why we need to look at this. When you visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the condition is, number one, he said, you visit me. Now, somebody goes, well, that's self-explanatory. No, it's not. Some crackpots, they think that you're visiting his grave. So a person goes, but we are visiting his grave. So what do you mean by that? And they think just his grave. You're not visiting his grave, you're visiting him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what the Prophet was highlighting. You're not just coming to some earth, like you go to the graveyard. He goes, whoever visits me, that's the first condition. You're visiting me. If you don't have that, you will not get the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second condition, there must be no other intention for you to visit except to visit me. Right? Somebody goes, well, so a person goes, well, there's people. They go there to get dates. Oh, and I'll go and give salam to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My family lives nearby. Oh, I'll go and give salam. No. Right? Your intention is solely to give salam to Rasulullah, to visit Rasulullah. Now, why is that so important? Because people say horrific things. Because if you do not intend to go to the masjid of the Prophet, you shouldn't go to Al-Madina. People have said that. So then he goes, what do you mean by that? He goes, and this is what they say. If you intend to go to Rasulullah, don't go. Because the Prophet said, only come to my masjid. This is an error. Right? And if you have that mindset, look at the loss. Right? So when we go to Al-Madina, we go to visit Rasulullah. That's our primary intention. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then of course, to take from the blessings of his masjid. So this is a condition which the Prophet himself stipulated. He goes, I will be his intercessor on the day of rising. Now this is important. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim and Mishkat, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, then let him honor his guest. Very famous hadith. He who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, then let him honor his guest. So why have I mentioned this report here? Because whose guests are we? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So think about that. Who is the greatest of hosts from the creation? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you are his guest, are you just going to get what normal hosts give to their guests? You're going to get something which is impossible for other hosts to give. So what did he mention he will give you? Shafa'ah. So think about that. Some people argue over the authenticity. Are you going to argue about this in Bukhari and Muslim? He who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, let him honor his guest. Rasulullah gave us that command. He will be the first to act upon it. Think about that. So when you go into his presence, you're his guest. In fact, many of the muhaddiths actually addressed him as their guests, as his honorable guest. Because we are your guests, Ya Rasulullah. Imam Tabarani mentions this. Why? Why did they say that? Because Rasulullah will never turn or disrespect any of his guests. Don't you want to get from the greatest of hosts, from the creation? Also, in Bayhaqi, in his Sunan, Hafiz Dimyati, in his Al-Majr, number 906, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who visited me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Al-Madina, with the expectation of reward, will then be next to me on the day of resurrection. Subhanallah. He who visited me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Al-Madina, with the expectation of reward, ihtisab, will be next to me on the day of resurrection. Subhanallah. So now let's look at this. The Prophet again says, me. He didn't say grave. Getting rid of that mentality, right? You're visiting me. And then he said, this is the condition, ihtisab. Ihtisab is when you are aware of the reward. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who prays on the night of power with iman and ihtisab, his previous sins will be forgiven. In Bukhari and Muslim. What's the two conditions? Iman and expecting reward. Ihtisab. Ihtisab means that you know the reward. You're expecting it. So this is another condition. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you visit me in Al-Madinah with the expectation of reward. Now can you have that if you haven't prepared? You understand? What's the reward? You're going to Rasulullah, what's the reward? And he guesses. Paradise. Did you guess that? Yeah, you got it right. But it's a guess. Is that a person knowing the reward? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, expecting reward. And what's the reward? This is something beyond comprehension. You will be next to Rasulullah on the day of judgment. Somebody goes, next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's Abu Bakr Siddiq. Yes. That's Umar ibn al-Khattab. Yes. That's the Sahaba. Yes. How am I going to be next to him? Don't know, brother. But did you go to his grave? Did you go to visit him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With Iman and Ihtisab. Yes, you'll be next to him. Now, if you're next to him, have you got anything to worry about? You don't need to speak. Imagine Rasulullah. If Allah Ta'ala starts calling you forward, Rasulullah, is he going to come to your help and your defense? You're right next to him. There's another mind-blowing reward of visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, in another report, it mentions in Bazar Abu Na'im al-Hilya, Kanz al-Umal, number 34,947, our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the area between my grave and my pulpit is a garden from the gardens of paradise. This is also in Nasa'i, Ahmad Tabarani and Bayhaqi. So now, did I mention this report earlier?
Yes.
Right? The area between my grave and my pulpit is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Did I mention that report earlier? Mm-hmm. Today?
No.
What is the difference?
House.
There's one word difference. Look how critical this wording is. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, between my house and my pulpit, there is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Did he mention grave? No. In Nasa'i Ahmad Tabarani Bayhaqi Bazar Abu Na'im Kanz al-Umal, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the area between my grave and my pulpit is a garden from the gardens of paradise. So this is a sign of Nabuwwat. Rasulullah knew where he was going to be buried. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. When the Sahaba heard that, we miss it. Because we're not listening. You mentioned, no, I didn't mention it. There's a word change. And that word is a complete different meaning now. First he mentioned his house. Now he's mentioning his grave. So he knew, I am going to be buried here. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he changed one word. My grave. So now Imam Tahawi, he said something very interesting here. Imam Tahawi, in his Mushkil al-Athar 4-68-70, when his pulpit, this is where he did the sermons and he stood and he sat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his pulpit achieved this special distinction just by his standing and sitting there sometimes, then the fact that his grave now contains his noble body perpetually causes it to now have an even loftier distinction, plus another obvious sign of his prophethood. You see people at the pulpit and they're touching it for blessings. MashaAllah, Abdullah ibn Umar did that, radiallahu anhu. Why are you touching that pulpit? Because brother Rasulullah sat on this pulpit. MashaAllah, I'm just asking. So this is a blessed pulpit because the Prophet sat on it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. Did he sit on it all day, 24/7? He goes, no. What else did he do on that pulpit? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stood on it. Jumu khutbah. Did he stand on it 24/7? No. So most of the time he wasn't on that pulpit. And you're getting blessings by just touching them. Yes. Then, my dear brother, what about where he's buried? 24/7. 1,400 in years and counting he's there. What's happening there? So Imam Tahawi goes, think. Think of the blessings descending there. That's the first thing. The second thing he says is a sign of Nabuwwat. Because if he had not passed away there, he's not a prophet. He passed away in Hafsa's dwelling. No, he didn't. He passed away in Salama's dwelling. No, he didn't. He passed away in Zainab bin Jahish dwelling. No, he didn't. Radiyallahu ta'ala. He passed away in Aisha's dwelling. And this is why her dwelling is a garden of paradise. Look at the status of Sayyidah Aisha. All her life she was in a garden of paradise. And she left it at the end of her life due to her humility. So think about that. That's the place where the magnificent blessings are descending unboundedly. And also just to add this to finish. In Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, and it's Hassan in As-Sahiha, number 1530. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is an angel alayhi salatu wa salam at my grave. And he says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so and so, the son of so and so, just now sent salat upon you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is an angel at my grave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the angel says, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, just now sent the salat upon you. So this is an authentic report in As-Sahihah, number 1530. So let's look at this briefly. There's one angel at the holy grave. What is his sole task? This is his only job that Allah Ta'ala created him for. Anybody in the entire world and possibly beyond who sends salat upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can hear it. Allah Ta'ala has given him that strength. Think about that. That's the first mind-boggling thing. The angel's in Al-Madinah and he's hearing somebody doing durood in Timbuktu. Yeah. SubhanAllah. That's the first mind-boggling thing. Secondly, does this angel get confused with the billions of people the world over at the same moment sending salat upon the Prophet? No. A person goes, is hearing the durood, which is incredible, and is not getting confused with all the billions at the same moment sending salat. Allahu Akbar. Number three, it then not only knows who sent the salat upon the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also becomes aware of the father of the one who sends it. Because he says, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. So for instance, if I say on this blessed night of Friday, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our belief is that angel next to the blessed holy grave has heard it here, thousands of miles away from the grave, and now he's conveyed it like this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yusuf, the son of Shamroz, has sent salat upon you. Think about that. My father passed away 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Why is my father's name being mentioned near the grave? There's a secret here. The Prophet was telling you something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you want your father to be mentioned in my presence, send salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the angel conveys it to Rasulullah. And the hadith finishes. So the person, obvious question goes to the mind. Then what happens? Look how the Prophet just left it. Letting you anticipate. You can work it out. So imagine, Rasulullah hears, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, sends salat upon you. What do you think he's going to do? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to return the compliment. Not just for you, but for your father. Think about that. Your father. You know, what a gift to send to your father. And that angel, think about it. He's been there for 1,400 plus years. Has he got tired? No. Right? What is his zikr? Probably what he's getting. The other thing which is fascinating, which is worth pointing out, is how do you explain that in physics? Meaning, isn't this angel time-bound? Meaning, every second, millions upon millions are sending blessings upon Rasulullah. Is it possible for that angel to convey that in 1 second to Rasulullah? So the response is, we don't use physics. Allah Ta'ala told us through the lips of his beloved what's happening at his grave. Why is this narration also very fascinating? Because what then of the one who does Salat al-Nabi at his grave? You're actually bypassing that blessed angel. Imagine, if you're doing it here, this angel is now sending it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It also shows that Rasulullah becomes more acquainted with the one who does more durood. If you do 1 million Salat al-Nabis before you drop dead, Rasulullah has heard your name 1 million times. And your father's. If somebody does it 1 billion times, Rasulullah has heard his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1 billion times. So it's a competition. If he becomes more acquainted with your name, it means he has more affection and love. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Salat al-Nabi, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he relates that the Prophet himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Tirmidhi, the closest of your to me on the day of resurrection are those who send more Salat upon me. You are closer to Rasulullah. Now this could mean physically or also out of love and affection. So note, that's the most excellent thing you could do around this auspicious grave, sending blessings upon our beloved messenger. So note, is his grave blessed? Of course. Are we visiting a grave? Not really. We're visiting Rasulullah. Are we looking forward to the reward? Inshallah. Ihtisab. Are we going with any other intention? No. We're going to visit Rasulullah. First, inshallah, to get purified around the Kaaba. And this is part of preparing when you go into the holy cities. Think about this, right? Look at the honor given to us graciously by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, blessings abounding upon that holy and auspicious land. Despite what's happening, like people look at, they see the, you know, the obvious and they get upset. But really what's happening there? Forget about what your eyes see. What really is happening in those holy lands. And you're blown away. Because Rasulullah spoke only the truth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شهد عنهم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصوا بالحق تواصوا بالصبر